welcome to another edition of Medicare Simplified with your host, Dave Miller.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Medicare Simplified. I got lucky. I got Mary to come back from her fraud-finding, scam-slamming tour, and we're going to have another interview with her. But this time, it's not going to be about Medicare. It's going to be about some generalized topics that are getting quite bad. I mean, there's a lot of them going on. Mary, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's my pleasure.
You know, again, I know we talked about this the last time I interviewed you, but I do love talking with you and seeing you on Channel 27, whether we're up there at the same day being interviewed or just watching you every second Tuesday on Good Day PA. It's a pure pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Now, today I want to cover some generalized things, such as government and business scams, and then, of course, the romance scam, because seniors, when you lose a loved one, I understand, like when you're in your 60s and above, it's hard to lose a loved one. It's hard to move on, and you're lonely, and they exploit this sort of thing. Can you put a little light on some of these topics real quick for us? I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you roll with it.
Well, according to the FTC, the scams that are most prolific include all of the imposter scams, and that is someone claiming to be someone they are not. We might get a call from someone claiming to be with the IRS, with the Social Security Agency, someone saying that they are with the jury commissioner's office in our individual county. And you may look at your caller ID and even see what looks like a legitimate number for the so-called agency or administration that claims they're calling you. You cannot trust caller ID anymore because of the spoofing software that the criminals have. They can make any name and number come up on caller ID. But if you do answer the phone, they may tell you that your Social Security number has been compromised in some type of drug deal in the southwest of the country. They may say that it's the IRS calling you and you owe back taxes and you owe this fine. And if you don't pay immediately with either gift cards or some type of wire transfer, that you are going to be jailed, you will be arrested. And so people get very, very frightened when they are intimidated. And these criminals are very, very good at intimidating people over the phone. Each person should know that our government agencies, first of all, are never going to call us cold and make threats to us over the telephone. That in itself is a big red flag, and we definitely should make sure that we hang up the phone in those situations. If you do have back taxes, or if you do think somehow your Social Security number has been compromised, you then need to call the agency, the administration, directly using a number that you find independent of any type of phone call that you get or mail that you get. You want to make sure that you are dealing with the legitimate agency again if you think you do have a problem. But more often than not, with these scams, they are literally out of the blue. You've paid all your taxes. You don't owe a penny. Your Social Security number has not been compromised in some type of drug deal. And again, they are trying to scare you any way they think they can get away with it, because they are trying to get information from you, your personal private information. And at AARP, we say, don't answer the phone. If you don't know the number on caller ID, let it go to your voicemail. The scammers, the criminals, typically do not leave any message. And if in fact it's someone calling you legitimately that needs to talk with you, they are going to leave a message. And if you're around the phone when it rings or the answering machine, you're going to hear that message and you can suddenly pick up and, you know, there's no problem there. But more often than not, the scammers will not respond to a voicemail message. So let it go to voicemail. Don't engage. If you don't engage, you are not going to be scammed. But the bottom line is, these agencies are not going to call you. The others, the business scams, are in some ways similar. Someone will call and say they are from Amazon or Best Buy or one of the big box type stores, or online stores that we all know and people use with great frequency. They're in every community. And so it seems legitimate, but they'll tell you that an order has been placed in your name, and it's usually for something, a big ticket item, like a television set for hundreds of dollars, or even a computer system, again, for hundreds of dollars, and that it's going to an address, say in California, but certainly not your individual locale. And it's in your name. And if you did not order it, you need to give them your credit card so that they can eliminate the charge. And of course, you didn't order it. And so you're then inclined to think, you know, I better get rid of this charge. And that's how they get your credit card number. Or if something like this comes in a phishing email, they will tell you to call this toll-free number. And when you call the so-called toll-free number, you are going to get the criminal. And the criminal then is going to say, in order to eliminate the charge, you need to give your credit card number again, and they're going to try to steal your identity or any of your private information any way they think they can get it. So you need to be alert to all of these kinds of systems, and simply don't fall for a telephone line. At AARP, we always say, if you can spot a scam, you can stop a scam.
You know, one of the things that are used also is you get this email, and I'll use Amazon like you did, and they'll say, we've recently found a problem with your account. Please click this link to help resolve the issue. And it doesn't take you to Amazon's site. It takes you to a mirror site that looks like an Amazon site, and then they're going to get you. So if you do get an email like that, delete it, then close your browser to wipe out all the cookies and trackers, whatever, everything. If you have a program that deletes your cookies, run it. Then go to Amazon, log in like normal, and check to see if anything's wrong. That way you know you're on the right site and you're not getting hooked. The other thing that I've noticed, because I've gotten those emails myself, and I know they're hokey. And another thing is too is, I forget what it's called, but when you put in your username, password, and then it comes up with a code that is sent to your cell phone, second stage verification, that's a safe way to log in, because as long as your phone number is not compromised, beep, okay, 123456, enter. Now you're logged in with second stage authentication. And I do that with Amazon and several other things. It's another way to protect your account, protect your identity, and hopefully not fall victim to anything.
Absolutely. And you use the magic word delete. Delete, delete, delete. That is your best friend when it comes to any of these kinds of situations, again, that come to you out of the blue, unexpectedly. You did not order anything, and you should never be alarmed by one of these fake situations, because you know you didn't order anything, and you simply should delete it.
And again, when you do order things, write a note to yourself, put it up on that refrigerator. So if you get an email, you can pull that note down. Nice try, pal. Delete. Just get done even quicker.
Well, there's no doubt that any of us who make any kind of order about anything should definitely keep records about that particular order. If nothing else, you should have a line in your checkbook about paying for something, or you should know through PayPal or one of the online payment systems what you actually paid for. So be very, very careful.
And even some online paying systems have got some pretty scary things. I know. I mean, technology is wonderful. It's made my job and my life easier, but it's also the scariest thing on the planet, because I got a phone call yesterday from this phone number on this phone. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. So I went ahead and answered it. And they were trying to sell me a Medicare Advantage plan. Trying to sell me. I'm not even 65. Oh, I had a lot of fun with them. I kept them on the line for half an hour before he realized I was scamming him.
Well, we don't want people to be lured in and possibly thinking they're having fun with the scammer and then make some type of personal mistake and give out information that they really did not intend to give about themselves. And that's why we say, don't answer the phone. Let it go to voicemail. If you don't engage, you're not going to be victimized.
The only reason I answered that one was because it was my own phone number. So I knew it was a scam right out of the bat. I knew it was a scam. How can I call myself on my own phone?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
But any other number, again, Mary, the best advice, slide that little bar, send it straight to voicemail. If they leave a message, hi, this is Tom Hanks, and we're letting you know we're from the Social Security Division, and you owe us a ton of money, yada, yada, yada. We are going to take you to court. We are going to do this and that. You better call us quickly and send us some money. Social Security, they're never going to do that. You'll get something in the mail registered that you have to sign for. That way they know you got it. And now you know it's possibly legit. But again, that could be scam too, right, Mary?
Well, it could, although it's doubtful because the criminals in those situations don't want to put up money up front with some type of postal mail because they're probably not going to get that money back if, in fact, you know it's a scam.
And that brings me up to my next topic, Mary. Mail theft. People are getting boxes stolen from their front porch. And then they don't have them as plentiful in my area. But, you know, the old mailbox where you can just pull down the lever, throw your mail in, putting your flag up on your mailbox so let the mailman know there's some outbound mail going on. You can't trust any of that anymore.
Not at all. In fact, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service that oversees anything having to do with mail scams, fraud in the U.S. postal mail system, they've really been warning people lately. It's quite timely, and it's a hot topic, that mail theft has really been on the rise recently. And so we have to do whatever we can to protect ourselves in all of these criminal or scam situations. We need to remember that we as individuals are our own first line of defense in terms of thwarting the scams. If you don't answer the phone, you're going to thwart that scam. But in terms of our mail, you need to be very careful about how you mail your mail. Some of us live in suburban type communities. We might have a mailbox at the end of the driveway, and many of these driveways are on through streets. And if you put your outgoing mail, that is paying your utility bill or your credit card bill, with a check that you've written on your bank account, and it's in that mailbox, or maybe you've mailed gift cards to your grandchildren for a special occasion, their birthday or something, and you've got those in the outgoing mailbox because you know that the mailman will see the red flag up and he'll come by and he'll take the mail for you. It's a convenience. But in those situations, don't put the red flag up. All of us get a piece of junk mail every day, whether it's just a supermarket flyer or some such thing. We're going to get a piece of mail every day. And so if you don't put the red flag up, but you've got outgoing mail in your mailbox, the postman is going to open that box to put that junk mail in or whatever it is. And he will then see that you've got outgoing mail, and he will then take it and just think you've forgotten to put your red flag up. So again, the red flag alerts the criminal that there could be some type of really good thing that they could use a piece of mail in that box. Be really careful about mailing in the blue boxes that are in your neighborhoods. A lot of the neighborhoods on the corner still have the blue boxes, and people put outgoing mail in those as a convenience. And then as the mailman comes through on his route, he empties the box. Usually there's a time on the box about when those boxes will be emptied. mail, if you have to use one of those blue boxes, put your mail in as close to the pickup time as possible. The thieves are actually using sticky tape and all kinds of bendable wire that anybody can buy anywhere at a hardware store or a home supply store. And they, in the dead of night, more often than not, are using these simple techniques to literally fish mail out of those blue boxes. So if the pickup is at 9:30 in the morning, but you're out at 8 o'clock at night, and you put your mail in at 8 o'clock at night, and it's not going to be picked up for another 10 or 11 or 12 hours, then you are a bit in jeopardy, because if somebody fishes that mail out of your blue box mailbox in the middle of the night, they're going to be able to get their hands on your check or the gift cards that are activated that you're mailing to your grandchild. When they steal your mail that has your personal check in it, made out again to the utility company to pay your bill or your credit card company to pay your bill, they now have a check that they can wash. They can use simple household chemicals and wash the name of the payee off. They can substitute whatever name they want. If the amount on the check is high enough to satisfy them, they'll just leave that alone, but it's got your signature on it, and they then can deposit that check or cash that check, and it will go through. And so when you write a check, when you make out the payee amount, you need to make sure that you use a gel pen, because the U.S. Postal Inspection Service says gel ink cannot be washed from these checks as easily as just an old-fashioned standard ballpoint pen. And you can get a gel pen at any of the drugstores, supermarkets, any of the office supply stores, the big box stores. They all sell gel pens, and usually they come in a pack, and you can get two or three for a couple of dollars. So use a gel pen.
Wow, I did not know that about gel pens. I hate it. I don't like gel pens because they kind of smear once in a while, but I'm going to go buy a few.
Absolutely. And black gel pens actually do a better job than blue gel pens, but all of them are better than a ballpoint pen. So just be really careful. But again, how you handle your mail, how you mail your mail can be really important as to whether you make yourself vulnerable or not.
Now, Mary, I don't know how you feel about this, but my wife and I do this. Our church has its own app. So when we do tithing, we do it through that app to avoid things like what you just spoke about with mail. But also, we use online banking to pay our electric, water, that sort of thing. Now, I realize some people aren't really tech savvy to be able to use online banking, in which case I'd suggest get one of your children to help, well, young adults, to help you set up online banking, teach you how to do it. Because with online banking, you can pay your bills securely. The bank will do the electronic stuff to make sure your bills are paid on time, as long as you do them early enough. But also, online banking can be key to finding out if your credit card got skimmed. A few years back, before Kmart went down the tubes, my wife was there and she made a purchase at Kmart and she left. Well, the next day she was doing her kind of like weekly reconciliation with a checkbook, and she saw three charges from Kmart for $25 a piece. Well, Kmart got a phone call. Our bank got a phone call. Someone had skimmed her card right at the store. Somehow, I mean, again, technology is amazing, but it's flat out scary. How did they get that information? There's just so many ways that I found out that through devices in your hands, phones can somehow interconnect with the reader there. But we got it taken care of, but I suggest online banking. And again, like you said, blue boxes, wait till like half an hour before pickup, stuff them in there, or just go to the post office and drop them in directly right there.
That's also gift cards. And that's also very, very true. But on the other hand, while online banking may definitely serve a purpose for lots and lots of customers. There are still many customers, probably older customers, possibly people in some rural areas that are underserved by proper broadband. And as a result, they do not have good computer usage. They are not able at this point in time to do the kind of online banking transactions that you're talking about or any kind of things online. And so as a result, those people need to understand that they have to protect themselves. Again, they are their first course of defense against the scammers. And that's why we have to make good decisions.
Exactly, Mary. Now, we've gone through quite a bit, and I like the way this has been flowing. The one last topic, and I unfortunately know a few people who've fallen guilty to this from when I used to live in Pittsburgh, the romance scam.
Absolutely.
I know this is one of your favorites, Mary, so go ahead and lay it on us. I'm just going to turn it over to you again.
Well, Dave, I don't want anybody looking for love in all the wrong places. And there are just too many people being scammed by the so-called romance scams. And as you opened the show, you talked about older people who are being victimized because they are lonely. It could be they are widows or widowers who were in long-term marriage relationships. They've lost that loved one, and they are now looking for someone for companionship. And it could be just as simple as that. They are looking for friendships, someone to just converse with. And the matchmaking online situations have really proliferated in the past years. And there are a lot of sites that target seniors that claim they will match seniors with other seniors. And the criminals know that. And so they put up fake profiles, pictures, photographs that they have stolen from the internet. They then, possibly from a fake Facebook type site, they then will put up again a fake profile about that particular photograph. They usually claim that they are living abroad. And many times they are in a situation where they cannot have a face-to-face relationship. So it may be all done via text message or some type of internet relationship. And you don't know that you're dealing with a real person at all. And the scammers take advantage, and there is more money lost, according to the FTC, in romance scams, bigger amounts of money from single victims than any other type of scam. And so at AARP, we want people to just know some of the red flags of a romance scam. When they try to get you off a particular site, when they want you alone so that they can just message you back and forth, then that's a real red flag. They profess love very, very quickly, even though you've really not exchanged much information about yourself. But the scammers typically are very good at doing their homework. And one of the problems these days is that there's so much information about all of us on the internet through public record or through a site like Facebook. And many, many older people are now on Facebook because they're reaching out to make connections from their high school days or look up people that they knew in their past, et cetera. And again, the scammers know all of this. And so the scammer then claims that he's in love with you. But the problem is he needs money. And the bottom line about all of these is they always want money, either in the form of a wire transfer or gift cards. And so they will tell you that they want you to send money because they want to come meet you. They may ask you outright for an airplane ticket. And when you send any of these things, something always comes up. They are on their way to the airport because they're coming to see you, and they've had a terrible accident, or somehow they've been arrested for some problem that they've had, etc. And so they always then need more money for the emergency room at the hospital or to pay the fine so they can get out of jail. And sometimes after you send all of this money, they simply claim they're on their way, but they just never show up. We've heard stories at AARP about people that have actually gone to the airport. And I'm embarrassed to say that some 83% of the reported victims of romance scams are women. Although it may be that men who are victimized simply are so embarrassed that they just never report what has actually happened, even though they may have lost money. But a lot of these stories are directly out of the Dr. Phil show. And you just have to feel for some of these people. Although, again, maybe they just did not want to recognize the red flags that were right in front of their faces. They are so caught up in the emotion of the moment that they don't even realize what is going on and the actual truth of the situation. And only when the so-called victim says they no longer have any money to give, does the scammer actually completely drop them like a hot potato. And then they really know they've been scammed.
Well, Mary, I think you'd agree. Regardless if it's a romance scam, an Amazon scam, a Social Security scam, anytime they say you got to pay in gift cards, that should put up your red flag and walk away from it. Nobody wants, if they ask for a payment in gift cards, that should be obvious right there. But again, I know a guy right here where I live. He got nailed for $3,500 in gift cards.
And I hear those stories.
Because he was scared. The guy was that convincing, or the woman. And, you know, another thing about the romance scam, okay, 12 years ago, I was divorced for a while. I tried a couple of these, like, I'm not going to mention names because, again, we don't want to get any legal issues. Sure. I tried out a couple dating services online just to see what was going on. And boy, I quickly got out of that. And I put generic information up. I have a special email account just for stuff like that, that doesn't have any of my information. It's accurate. It's all fake. I did that to protect myself. But it was obvious that some of these women were scammers. And then I tried, at my daughter's discretion and advice, I tried eHarmony. Now, eHarmony does screen you very thoroughly. There's like 150 questions you got to answer, and then they check things. And then to do it right, and my now wife, Patty, which is where I met her, we paid the money. I did, she did before we met. I mean, just when we signed up. We paid money and we had ourselves verified as, yes, this is who I am. Yes, I have been single this long. Yes, I have been divorced for this amount of time. So many things were verified. And when I saw her picture, I'm like, oh yeah, read her profile, you know, puts God in her life. She does charity work. She does this, that, the other. I mean, and the picture was really good. I liked what I saw. Eye candy never hurts, right? But make sure it's sweet on the inside and the outside, just like you, Mary. And one thing led to another. We started talking and chatting over the site. Then later, after you do so many, and they monitor that, so be careful what you say. We were able to text each other. Then we started calling. And next thing you know, I'm packing my truck up and moving out to where I am today. And we dated for 5 years, and now I've been happily married for 6. And it was because of the fact that she was verified, single, verified her identity. And I did the same thing myself. Is the only reason the two of us continued connecting and talking and going through there. But unfortunately, there's way too many scams on all of these dating sites. So caution in the wind, obviously.
And I totally agree with you. And so, again, we have to know what to look for. And sometimes meeting in person is the very best way. And with the scammers, with the criminals, you are definitely not going to meet in person. It goes on and on, sometimes for months, even maybe a few years, when they are just, I'll say, milking you for your money in the form of whatever way you choose to pay them. And it's only when the money runs out that you find that it, in fact, is a scam. And that's why we just have to be, again, so very cautious and know the red flags. Let's take a step back, think through it, talk with others. If you feel like you're in love with someone, tell your best friend, tell someone about the situation. And you said something very key. You actually dated your current wife for 5 years before, you know, you got married. And so, again, 5 years is a really long time to be together. But people just are so taken up with the emotion of the moment. We call it being in the ether, when you are in that heightened state of emotional, you know, situation.
Vulnerability.
You are vulnerable and you just are not thinking straight.
Well, Patty, my wife and I both were married previously. Both of us had bad marriages. Both of us had kids. So we had a lot of concerns. One, for my kids, for her kids, with her. And we just agreed when we were still doing the chat thing that we're in no rush. Let's go slow. We got to know each other. And then because I lived, there was a 200-mile gap from where we lived, which is another story in itself. We won't get into that. But it's kind of cool how that kind of like hooked us up. But so what we did is I looked for a place halfway for both of us. It was actually a little bit longer for me than it was for her. But I picked out a restaurant and a date and time that worked for both of us. And we actually met on neutral ground, face to face. And we sent pictures. I sent one of myself. She sent one of herself. So when we got to the restaurant, we'd know who to look for. And when we met in person, which was about 2.5 months of just texting, phone calls, emails, going through the site, 2.5 months before we even met in person. But when I went to that restaurant, I got there first. I wanted to have the table, nice secluded area. I'm like, okay, let's see if she's for real or not before I get emotionally invested, or it ain't going to happen this way. Sure enough, she walked into my life. I knew I had a real woman. I knew I had a good woman, and I did not let her go.
And Dave, in the 2.5 months, neither of you asked each other for money.
No. We asked questions that were, some of our conversations were pretty in depth, but never to the point where things came up. One thing she was concerned about was, do you have any debt? And I said, well, I got a car loan, a credit card with $18 on it because I just got gas today. Okay, today did I get you, what, 4 gallons? But I told her my bills. And I said, I'm financially secure. I've got a 401k. I have this, that, and the other investments, but never the amount and never what they were all about. She told me what she did for a living, how long she did it. Now, common knowledge told me no problems financially there. And so that was all the money. We never discussed it until we were, well, when I popped a question, it didn't take her long to say yes. In fact, the whole restaurant and half a block down the road heard the yes. But it wasn't until then that we actually started getting in-depth conversations about money, because money is the number one cause for a lot of divorces. And financial security is something that both parties need to be concerned about, to make sure you're not marrying someone who's $100,000 in debt or has financial problems or can't manage your own money. But also, we wanted to make sure that we would complement each other in countless ways. And again, why we took 4 years of dating, 1 year engaged, before we tied the knot.
And again, your story does not fit the red flags of a romance scam, because with the romance scam, you typically never meet face to face. You may not even ever see a photograph of the person, or if you see a photograph, it is a fake profile, and people need to reverse search those photographs on the internet to determine whether that photograph is fake or not. But you did not profess love so quickly that somebody is saying after only a few days of talking back and forth that they want to marry you out of the blue. And sometimes with the romance scams, there's just no rhyme or reason about why things happen as they happen. And again, you did not claim to be from overseas working. You know, you were right here at home. You were quite tangible. And when you made a plan to visit, you actually showed up and she showed up face to face, whereas the scammers do not do that. And again, money is the key. Money is always the bottom line in a romance scam. And the scammer always reaches out and wants money in one form or another, whether it's actual cash, whether it's a wire transfer, a gift card, whatever it is, they are after money, and that's always the bottom line.
It is. So, folks, Mary, once again, my scam-slamming, fraud-finding gem of a lady has helped us to open our eyes to a lot of things. I really hope everyone out there will share these podcasts, especially these interviews with Mary. She's so knowledgeable, and I plan on picking her brain a few more times down the road whenever she'll bless me with another podcast. And Mary, again, thank you so much for your time. It's such a pleasure talking with you.
David, I assure you it's been my pleasure, and I hope your audience appreciates some of the information we've shared.
So do I. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Mary Bach, the fraud-finding scam slammer that people need to listen to. Please like and share my podcast with your friends, people new to Medicare, or someone that you know that may fall victim to something we've talked about today, especially the romance scams. It's really sad to see people lose things like their money, their identity through mail fraud, through check washing. Please share these podcasts. I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Mary. I know I have. I look forward to speaking with you again soon and continuing our journey through retirement planning, Medicare, and countless other topics. Have a great day. If you've enjoyed this podcast and don't want to miss future episodes of Medicare Simplified with me, Dave Miller, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out my book, Medicare Ready, Set, Go, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. If you're looking for Medicare advice, please reach out to me at dave@mig4u.net or online at mig4u.net.